Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. This is Mo. I'm coming to you live with my co-host T and of course Const. We're going to go over probably the most boring and the least in-depth position of fantasy football, well, besides kicker, which has actually been taken out of a lot of leagues, mostly one that I've been in. If you haven't considered it, might want to hold a vote this year and actually make the league a little more interesting. Anyway, let's move on to the tight end position. As we discuss, please feel free to call in 760-283-0846. That's 760-283-0846, or you can inbox us on Facebook. Since we're, as I mentioned, we're going over the least talked about position, we're going to do a few storylines before we get into it, mostly because we're at the fourth preseason game, and football is exactly a week away till the season starts. So we have relevant storylines now. Things that happened in preseason are actually going to have an effect on the regular season, and of course your fantasy football team. So let's start with. That happened only, what was this, 2 days ago? Logan Mankins gets traded to Tampa Bay, and Tim Wright goes to New England. So there's two implications here, what this does, and what's the biggest input? It just pretty much just makes Doug Martin more valuable. Tampa Bay, his biggest question mark was the offensive line in Tampa Bay. They solidified that a little bit with Mankins here. New England obviously had a lot of depth in the offensive line, so it's a lot of availability to trade there. They get rid of Mankins. Patriots bring over another receiver / tight end, another weapon for Brady. Who do you think this helps more? Do you think this has to help Doug Martin more than Tom Brady?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, let's start on Doug Martin first. I mean, Logan Mankins was the fourth best run-blocking guard in football last year. And while he's a little older and he makes a lot of money and maybe a little bit past his prime, he's still the best guard.
Anything was an upgrade over what they had.
Exactly.
So this definitely helps. And they didn't really
They lost Carl Nix.
Right. They had, I mean, they drafted a tight end, so they didn't necessarily need Wright. He had a decent year last year. He's still, I don't know if this brings him into the fantasy radar, but time will tell. Like I said, I think this helps. This impacts Doug Martin, a guy who's not even involved in the trade more than anyone else. I like Doug Martin as a early second round pick as it was. I don't think this brings him into the first round, but I wouldn't be completely opposed to it. I mean, when we started the show, we had Le'Veon Bell ahead of Doug Martin. We all know what happened with him.
You did either.
In the very beginning, I think.
I don't think so.
It was Zach Stacy. I mean, I'm just naming guys.
I think the best way to put this is I think it makes you feel safe about Doug Martin. Like, whether you're on the board with Doug Martin or weren't, I think, last week, if I would have loved Doug Martin as my number two running back, would have not been in love if I had him as my number one running back. Now I think it makes you feel safer. I think that's where it takes Doug Martin.
I think he's a top 10 running back now.
That's what I'm saying. I think a lot of people had him right around the 9, 10, 11 area. I think you can move him
well ahead of the Zach Stacy, Le'Veon Bell.
This is good for leadership as well.
DeMarco Murray, Arian Foster. I think you can move him ahead of those guys now. Because I think he's a little safer.
But you could definitely justify it. While we're talking about Mankins and the Patriots or whatever, another storyline, probably the biggest or one of the biggest camp battles this preseason. There haven't been many, but the Patriots backfield, which I don't think they had so much depth at this position and they could afford to trade someone away. They have three guys back there. Well, if you want to count Vereen as a running back, which of course he is, but the two guys fighting for carries, rookie James White and veteran Stephen Ridley fumble again in this preseason. Of course, we know he had fumble problems last year, which led to his eventual bust status. and he's having, you know, potentially recurring problems with the same issue. So if you had to, we think Vereen, I think it's safe to say we think Vereen is going to be, you know, the Vereen, obvious.
Vereen's a running back one in a full PPR league. He really is. If you play 16 games?
If you play 16 games. Right.
You don't think he'd be a top 10 guy? I think he would be.
I think he very well could be. Yeah, probably. If he plays all 16 games, he could definitely be up there. But, like, you know, we've gone over this before, and you could say about any running back in the top 10. Then again, Vereen isn't ranked in the top 10, probably because of his injury history. But,
right.
All right. Anyway, we know Vereen is more of the other guy in the background. We know what he's capable of. He showed us in a limited time last year. It's the running, the two runners of the ball on this team. Between Stephen Ridley and James White, there was speculation that Ridley might even get cut, which I don't know how hard we should look into that. Do you think, I mean, I think James White is just going to be the better player just by default. Just if Ridley's 1 foot, we saw it last year, and now it's even more likely. If Ridley fumbles one time, that's it. Belichick's not going to hesitate to pull him. They really don't have any other options out there. Vereen is not much of a runner, especially between the tackles. So
I think you just said two key things. I know you like James White, but I think Ridley will be their quote-unquote starting running back week one. I think he'll get the first carry of the season. But like you said, if he fumbles once, that's probably it for Stephen Ridley, especially if James White looks good. He's never going to get another opportunity. And the second thing you said that I think is key is that Belichick will not hesitate to pull him at all. If he fumbles, he's done. That's it.
The thing, I like James White this year just because I think he's going to get his touches. He'll get his touchdowns. Oh, same with Ridley. And they're both going late, so for their value, they're definitely worth it. The only problem is, and it's the same issue we had last season, assuming all these guys are healthy and whatnot, you're just not going to know when to start which one because you're not going to know when Stephen Ridley's going to fumble the ball. So there's going to be those games. Stephen Ridley can fumble in the first quarter. James White comes in and puts up a 15, 20-point game. You're all going to start him for the next week, and Ridley's all he has to do is hold on to the ball, and he's, you know, and he's back in Belichick's good graces. So it's tough to tell. Over the course of the year, I think I like James White a lot more. I think James White's going to finish ahead of Stephen Ridley, and he's being drafted below Stephen Ridley. So for those two reasons, I definitely like him more.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably stay away from both of them, but if I had to choose, I'd probably take James White.
Yeah, even if one guy were to take over, it's not like we've had a viable, running back, definitely not a running back one, but, you know, a good season-long starting running back from the Patriots backfield.
That's one, Corey Dillon.
And he wasn't even that great.
Yeah, he had like a 1,600-yard year with the Patriots.
Okay.
All right,
so
you're the last
one. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, that goes to show you, too. I mean, look at the year he had before coming to the Patriots. He was that good, and everyone thought it was a huge deal that he was going to do a better team and he's going to do even better, but they even took some fantasy value out of him. So that just goes to show you they could take it away from anyone. We have move on to a couple injuries now. The biggest injury and pretty much his career just took a huge hit. Sam Bradford tears the same ACL that he tore last year. It's a huge blow to him. And to be honest, while we say it's news, it's more important. It's bigger news just because he's out for so long. I don't think it's that important, to be honest. And the only time you're starting Sam Bradford is in a two-quarterback league, and it doesn't affect his weapons. There aren't many weapons on this team to begin with. I mean, Zach Stacy did fine with Kellen Clemens last year after Bradford got hurt with a backup quarterback. And honestly, I think Sean Hill's better than not only Kellen Clemens, that backup. I think he's better than Sam Bradford. And he's had better stats. He's a veteran guy. Sam Bradford was playing. This was a make or break season. So
I think the only draftable Ram right now is Zach Stacy. I know you're going to say Kenny Britt, but like...
Kenny Britt, even... Brian Quick going to start next to him, and even Chris Gibbons having a huge preseason. So I could see if you don't want to draft them, but they're definitely guys to follow.
Yeah, but like I said, like I'm not dropping Brian Quick and feeling good about it. You know what I mean? Like,
no, you're not feeling good, but a deeper 12-team league, I think all of them are worth taking a flyer on, especially Britt. And to be honest, this might even up all their values. I mean, it just depends who he develops a rapport with, which one of these receivers. He's going to become more confident with one of them.
Yeah, I think with, you know, Zach Stacy being there, them having a really good defense, even Benning Cunningham and Trey Mason, who I guess we could bring that up to Zach Stacy not starting the last preseason game. But I think with three competent running backs, and, you know, I just think that the Rams are going to try to pound the ball and play low scoring games. Like, I don't think they're going to be throwing the ball a whole lot, and their targets aren't that talented anyway.
Nah, plus they play in the same division. They have to play Seattle and San Francisco twice. So they're going to have tough matchups throughout the season. Obviously, I don't like Sean Hill either, but in a two-quarterback league where pretty much every starting quarterback gets drafted, do you like him any less than Sam Bradford? Like, no. No, it's got, and I think it actually helps. We also have Cam Newton coming up on the injury report. We have a bruised rib. I think that's the official diagnosis.
I thought he had a cracked rib, but
whatever it is. All right, so I guess either way, it's not good. And he's just—he's jumped down draft boards so hard lately. And this obviously doesn't help. Even before we found out about this injury. But the worst part about this is it's obviously going to limit his running. It's just because he's not going to want to run the ball. Every time he gets hit, he's going to obviously crack the rib, whatever the case, whenever your rib is bothering you. Anytime you get hit, it's going to affect your play. So, all right, so now he loses, top four receivers. He has the injury. I know he's finished as the top four quarterback every year he's been in the league, which has a lot to do with other guys' injuries, but nonetheless, I mean, he's been extremely consistent. So what does this do? I said, so what's Cam do when he's, your consensus sixth or seventh rated quarterback? Do you drop him at all?
No, just because I think where you would drop him, I mean, I would probably drop him below, I mean, if you don't, I personally am, I don't know, you do, below Stafford. You drop him below, a Tom Brady. You probably had him below Brady anyway, right?
I think they were close. I don't have my quarterback sheets with me, but
you know, Andrew Luck. I mean, like, is he in that Colin Kaepernick, RG3, Jay Cutler range now for you?
I wouldn't drop him that low, especially not RG3.
You have RG3 really low, but
well, it's dependent on value. So I think he'll be fine. I never liked him to begin with, honestly. So I just.
Yeah, I think he has, just as much talent at wide receiver that he did last year. It's just that they're unproven, they're especially unproven Cam Newton. He's been so consistent the past couple of years, you can only drop him so far. You can't drop him, he's still a quarterback one, obviously, you know what I mean? Like, you can't drop him out of the top 10.
Right, no, I know, I'm just saying, if we had him ranked in, like 5-6, I think this is enough. Kind of the same with Doug Martin. If you had him in the same area as one of these other guys, this might be enough just to put him a notch lower.
Like, for instance, I have him ranked at 6. In between, I have Luck at 5 and Brady at 7. I'd probably move Brady ahead.
Yeah, like I said, so fair enough. If you're making a split decision, if you're deciding between two guys, just something you have to consider. He'll be fine for the start of the season. Don't know if we could say the same thing about Wes Welker, who suffered his third concussion in 9 months now, I believe it is.
Yeah.
He's progressed great. He's recovering fine. It looks like he's going to be ready for the start of the season. He has a little over a week. I think he'll be all right. I mean, when you first heard it, so three concussions in 9 months, I mean, you got to worry about, forget about the guy's health. I mean, from a fantasy perspective, whether he's going to play this year at all, if he's going to retire, you know? So, he says he has every intention to play, but I don't think it's the smartest move. But I think he'll be fine. I really don't think this is going to hurt him at all. The first two concussions didn't change the way he played. The only thing you have to worry about, I've seen him. I mean, I did draft last week, and I did a draft after he got hurt. So this weekend as well, and it's noticeable. Just he's dropping 2-3 rounds in drafts. PPR leagues, I love where he's going. If he does stay healthy all year, he's an absolute steal.
I was a little lower on Walker than you anyway, and, well, actually a lot lower. You know what I mean? Like, you're top 10. But I don't know. I'm not a big fan of him this year, because I think what's not getting talked about is, at least talked about enough, is that, you know, everybody's saying, oh, he's going to play week one. You know, if he doesn't play week one, when's he going to be ready? My question is, if he comes back, let's say, to week three, and he gets another concussion, then what's up?
Yeah,
I might not see him for the rest of the year. You know, I have one more draft, I think. I'll probably take him off my draft boards.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a noticeable difference where he's dropping or how far he's dropping. So there's only so far you can let him go before. I mean, the value is just too good to pass him up.
Right, I agree. It's just like, I think somebody will take him before it gets to that point.
I guess. I still like him in PPR. The same thing happened last year. He only missed a couple games, but anyway. We do have a caller. Hopefully we could help settle this Wes Walker discussion. Like you said, I'm a lot higher on him than you are.
I'm going to bring the caller on. Hold on one second. I'm not sure if my computer's frozen or the site is frozen. I got him, I think. See if you got him.
You got him. Caller, are you there?
Hello. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? First time in a long time.
You got a question for us?
Wes Walker discussion. I took him early. He's perennial, especially in PPR leagues. You know, he's a perennial player. You know what I mean? You got to take him.
He gets to a certain point where he just falls way too far, and the guy, if he stays healthy all year, he's going to finish as a top 10 receiver. So, you know,
top 10 receiver,
you got to roll with
PPR,
dice.
You're talking major points with him. Excellent flex position player, in my opinion. My question is, you know, what do you think is a good round to pick a defense in? You know, a lot of defenses are going early this year, and I just don't really understand why. I usually save the defense for last, but for some reason they're going early this year. Who are you big on?
To be honest, we bring up this question every single year. Everyone has different strategies on it. I like to stream my defense every single week and just play based on the matchups. The only defense worth taking early this year is Seattle, and they might actually be good enough to warrant the pick just because they're extremely consistent. You really don't even – that's the one defense where you don't even have to look at who they're playing against. They finished number one last year. We haven't had this in a long time. Then again, you know, we thought this a couple of years ago with San Fran as well. I feel like people were reaching to San Francisco defense or whatever. You know, you never know, and that's why I'm still not going to reach for him, but I'm not going to knock people for going that far ahead and taking Seattle. I mean, the benefit is you just don't have to worry about it. It's less of a headache, but I also don't think that makes them the best fantasy defense.
Seattle's the only defense I would even think about taking before the second to last round. And the only reason I'm saying that is because you know you're going to get 8 good games out of them because they're so good at home. And that's really the only thing I have to say about that.
I mean, right now I feel like there's about a lot of garbage. I'm doing my draft right now. You know, I mean, I'm pretty heavy on wide receivers. I feel pretty solid about my running backs. I mean, right now I'm looking
still,
at 6 wide receivers on my team.
So solid about your other position than the Seattle defense.
Yeah, I mean they're not available. They went really early. That's what I was That's what I was telling you.
The difference. I mean, defenses don't even score. You're going to get the number one defense if you take Seattle, most likely. But they don't even score that many points to warrant. I mean, the difference between the number one defense and the number 10 defense isn't that great. And that's assuming you know by taking Seattle, they would have to finish as the number one defense in order to justify your pick. We don't know if they're going to finish as the number one defense. You could say that about any other team or any other pick you make in the draft. So I think it's different with defenses, but it's not like you could. A defense is going to win you the league. They're not. Even the number one defense, they're not going to win you the league. And you can't justify this pick unless they finish as the number one defense. So. Paul, I appreciate the call. It's actually a good question. We're on tight ends, and it's our last positional ranking show before we get into the season, so it's good to get to talk about defenses a little bit. I think we spoke enough about Wes Welker.
Yeah.
Last but certainly not least, the ruling finally comes out on Josh Gordon's suspension. Done for the year, kind of what we expected. Just kind of annoying that they waited this long, huh? So he was drafted, I think, a little too early in certain redraft leagues. But then again, if he ended up playing, it was definitely worth the pick. He'll be out for the year. He'll be back next season. I think this definitely puts a knock on Hoyer a little bit. But like we said, it doesn't change much just because we all expected him to be suspended for the year. So what do you do? I mean, even the only question you have with him now in keeper leagues is even worth taking. Depends how big your bench is.
Oh, I think he's definitely worth keeping, yeah.
Oh, taking him.
You just have to keep him on your roster all year long. I mean, I guess you could definitely take him at the end of the draft, and you know, if you have to drop him throughout the season, that's fine. But
yeah, I mean, I took him in the eighth round of a keeper league 2 weeks ago, and I don't regret the pick. I'm still happy with my team with or without Josh Gordon.
I suppose. I mean, but then again, you pretty much now you're saying you wasted your eighth round pick. Josh Gordon last year. I mean, I had him in the eighth round, so you missed out on the next potential Josh Gordon. Not to say that it's definitely
not going
to happen. You're right, but I mean, I don't think it's worth. And then you got to stash him all year. You're wasting a roster spot, and you miss out on a flyer. There's different strategies to it. If you hold on to him all year, obviously you're going to be in much better shape next season.
Or in a keeper league, he's the best bargaining chip in the league for somebody that's out of it.
Yeah, towards the end of the year. Yeah, that's true. But like I said, I mean, this is pretty much what we expected, so there's not much to report on the Gordon suspension. What do you say we move on to tight ends?
Yeah, sure.
And get it going. Do we even have to talk about Jimmy Graham?
Not even more.
I say we could talk about him just because I couldn't have been more right last season with my analysis on Jimmy Graham.
Why? He's just not necessarily true.
I think it was more than true. I think he outdid my prediction.
Yeah, but my thing is, he had a historic year for tight ends, even though he was a bit touchdown dependent. I mean, the reason he had a historic year was because of touchdowns.
What's your point?
And he was barely worth a first-round pick.
That's totally not true.
He's barely worth a first-round pick.
He's going in the first round of almost every draft this year.
Right. And if he doesn't repeat his performance, he won't.
That's fine. I think you could take him in the first round this year. I don't like him as much this year as I did last year. I don't like him as much. Yes, I was right. I don't like
so
him as much.
What's changed?
Gronk is back. Julius Thomas emerged. Jordan Cameron's a top five tight end. There was just no one else. He was just so much better than every other tight end. Mm-hmm. And that's what I loved about him. And if Gronk does play all year, that it's just a discrepancy at the position. He was by far the best. The best at that spot. I mean, we knew he was going to have a great year, or a good year, especially for a tight end. It's just no one else could keep up with him. Obviously, like I said, so he did have to compete with Jordan Cameron. He did have to compete with Julius Thomas, but he definitely lived up to that expectation. Anyone had Jimmy Graham last year, I don't know the exact stats. I know he was top three, and when you look at all the teams who made the playoffs, the most owned player, Jimmy Graham was in the top three of that position overall. So
I don't think so.
Graham was just from that tight end spot. There's no one else who dominated besides Peyton, of course. Besides Peyton, there's no one who dominated a position like that.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's in top three. I'm pretty sure I saw the same with you, but I don't think he's in top three. But go ahead. I don't know for sure. But.
Either way, Jimmy Graham's number one. He's in a class of his own.
Yeah, it's not even close. Well, it's close to top place, but.
Yeah, but the reason we have Gronk in the lower tier is just because of health concerns, which we don't even know. He's supposed to play week one, but there's already issues with him. And it's the same thing we were dealing with last year to a slightly lesser extent still. Yeah, it's just frustrating. It's just one of those things. It's the same thing with Wes Welker, I suppose, at this point. You know, just one hit, one game, one injury, whatever it is.
Right.
You have to worry about, and especially now. I mean, it was different last year because where'd you get Gronk? Fourth, fifth round. It's a huge value. So now I've seen him go second, third round. So it's time. That's kind of where he belongs anyway. Obviously, you're getting a little bit of value on him if he does play all 16 games. But it's not the same. You're using an extremely high pick on an extremely risky guy.
I think it also depends on, like, say you get him in the fourth round, let's just say, that's the argument because it makes 5 points better. If you get three pretty safe players, I wouldn't be opposed to using a fourth-round pick on Gronk. Like, if you get, let's say, like, I don't know, Adrian Peterson, Drew Brees, and I don't know, who's Antonio Brown. Those are three pretty safe players.
So if you do take Gronk in the third, fourth round, and he does play all 16 games, and we all know he's capable of having the year that Jimmy had last year, then he's going to be – now he's going to be just as valuable as Graham was last season.
Yeah. I mean, I still think if you give me 16 games of Jimmy Graham or 16 games of Gronk, I'm taking 16 games of Gronk.
Yeah, probably.
But the problem, I know that's hard to say, but, I mean, like I said, it's, you know, if you take Gronk, you just know that you can't take a risk with any of your other players, with any of your other early picks.
It's not to say that. I mean, Graham has had injury problems, too. So,
yeah, but he usually plays. Like, the thing about Gronk is, like, he won't play. You know, like, there's a couple years where not last year, but 2 years ago, where, like, he was just a game-time decision for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. The reason I think Gronk is going a little too early is kind of like I just brought up before. I think there's that tier two where, you know, last year, I think this tier two is if you take out Gronk, and injure Gronk. I mean, who do we have there? We had Vernon Davis and maybe Jason Witten last season.
I think Vernon Davis would probably most people number two last year.
Which is now, I mean, he's dropped down to my five, which still isn't bad. But my point is there's, what, two or three guys in tier two last year? Not the top of your head.
Like, no, like, I think it was more like 10 guys in tier. Like, I think it was Jimmy and everybody else, like you said. Like, if you had Vernon Davis a little ahead of people, then that's fine. But, like, depends on how, you know. Like, for instance, This year I have Jimmy as my tier one, Julius Thomas and Gronk in tier two, then I have eight guys in tier three.
See, on the opposite, I have all these guys in tier two. I have Gronk in the same tier as them. Maybe he should be ahead.
What's your tier two? Two through what?
Two through seven.
Oh, no. You have Julius Thomas in the same tier as, like, Jason Witten?
Yeah, I probably shouldn't, but I believe these guys are... I probably put Jason Witten a little bit down. But the rest of the guys, I can kind of justify it. And Julius Thomas had injury concerns as well, so I'm not fully...
Yeah, the thing about Julius Thomas is no one knew who he was before last year, but before last year he had injury concerns. So it's just like, you know, is he going to be a Jimmy Graham where he's questionable every week? Who knows?
Right, it's... obviously... And if all these guys were to stay, I think Julius Thomas is upside-wise, he's the third best tight end. That's why I have him there. If I had to do it again, I'd probably split these guys up and keep them in tier two.
Yeah.
Make the next four one of their own.
Right. I mean, to me, there's a clear tier two, Julius Thomas and Brock. Because even if that tier one, that tier two is if those guys stay healthy, they move to tier one. If they move, you know, they move back if they get hurt. That's what it is to me.
So I guess that's why you just, like, have them in limbo in tier two then. But that doesn't say if you, so why even put them in tier two? This is, I guess, like, he's either going to get hurt and be not and just not be startable, or he's going to stay healthy and go up to tier one. So I guess you just compromise with yourself.
Well, it's just like, I think Thomas and Gronk are very similar in they're elite guys if they're healthy, but they both have major injury concerns. So I just put them in their own tier.
All right. Yeah, no, that's fine.
I mean, if we're taking injuries out of it, Thomas, Gronk, and Graham are all tier one.
Who do you have number four?
I have Jordan Cameron, but I don't feel good about it.
Yeah, so do I. But,
I didn't have Cameron at number four before the Josh Gordon ruling came down. He's just going to get targets. I don't like the fact that he had, like, 128 fantasy points last year in standard scoring league. 64 came in the first four games.
and 64 came in the last 12. Well, disappeared for three-fourths of the year.
Then Josh Gordon emerged. They had like three different quarterbacks last year. I know it's not necessarily his fault, but it's something you have to take into consideration.
But it's not like the quarterback situation is better this year. You know Minnesota's going to start at some point.
But you want someone established. At least if you have the same guy.
I'm saying, you know Manziel's going to start at some point. It's not a question of when. It's a question it's not a question of if. It's a question of when.
But now Josh Gordon's out for the year, and Jordan Cameron's...
And he had two huge games without Josh Gordon. That's fair. I'm pretty sure it was the first two games, right?
The first
week he had, like, 108 yards and three touchdowns. I know that.
Yeah, I think, you know, he has a chance to go back to that situation just because he's going to lead the team in targets. So I think and that's why he becomes a number four guy. There's also a few guys right behind him who are just as close. So we're kind of, Jordan Cameron, he's definitely the guy who could take the next step. The other guys we're talking about here, I think they're just kind of locked in where they are. Well, especially Jason Witten and Vernon Davis. I think they're as solid as it gets. They're safe tight end picks. We know what they're going to do. Their upside is not much more than this.
Yeah.
The only
thing that scares me about Davis a little bit is, is it going to be a year where he has six touchdowns, or is it going to be one of those years where he has 12 touchdowns? You know what I mean? Because he fluctuated. I'll look up his stats real quick. But I know he's had, I think, 213 touchdown years, and then everything else is in single digits, which isn't necessarily bad. But if he has that 13 touchdown year, then he becomes not necessarily an elite guy, but he becomes
in tier two at least.
Yeah, he separates himself from the next five guys on the list,
and he absolutely has the ability to do that. So.
Right. My only concern is Michael Crabtree finally healthy. So in 2009, he had 13 touchdowns, then he had 7, 6, 5, and then last year he had 13 again.
Okay, so you never know where you're going to get. He stayed consistently healthy, right?
He hasn't missed a game since 2007. So, I'm sorry. He played 15 last year, but whatever. That's not. My thing about Vernon Davis is, if I'm drafting in a PPR league, to me, where Vernon Davis is going, I'd rather just wait and get a PPR guy, like a Greg Olsen or a Jordan Reed or a Dennis Pitta, because I can get him six, seven rounds later probably. Because Vernon Davis, I think, is going in, round four or five probably.
And before we get to that, I want to talk about Dennis Pitta later, but...
No, I'm just saying with Vernon Davis. I'm probably not going to end up with Vernon Davis on any of my teams just because I don't trust touchdowns.
Right, because you don't expect him, like we said, this him and Witten are the guys who you think that is going to finish in this area. There's not tremendous upside to either one of them. If someone does take the next step, the other guy I have in this tier is Jordan Reed from Washington, who came on last year, had a concussion problems, kind of halted his season. But he looked great at the end of last year. He definitely became a top 10 tight end for the time he did play. It's a new system now. They have new weapons in Washington. But apparently all reports he's looked great in preseason. I wouldn't be surprised if he took a jump to the next level. He definitely, the physical ability is definitely there. And so that's kind of like, just what we were talking about. You said you're not going to end up with Vernon Davis. The only one in this tier that I think I'm going to end up with, just because I think the other ones are getting drafted a little too high, like Jordan Cameron, going, fifth, sixth round, Vernon Davis a little bit after that, sixth, seven, same with Jason Witten. Reed is consistently going after these guys. So not only do I like Reed better, his upside is, can't even argue that, it's much better than any one of these guys, and you're getting him later.
Right. Well, I agree with you as far as Reed goes, and I think that's why me and you would both say that we're the only ones that would – he's the only one in this tier that would end up on our teams, because I think we're higher than the general public is on him.
Just because, for me, it's how much later he's going in draft.
That's what I'm saying. We're higher than the general, higher than the general vote, yeah.
Is that what tier ends? Do you have all those guys in the same tier as well?
No, I have Cameron Davis,
who?
Witt, Jordan Cameron, Vernon Davis,
oh.
Basil Witten, Jordan Reed, Greg Olson, Kyle Rudolph, Dennis Pitta all in one tier.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I started a new one, but I understand.
I think we've established that all of our ranking shows that my tiers are bigger than your tiers, generally.
Well, definitely. Actually, I mean, my tier two is bigger, but anyway. So go. I mean, Greg Olson, I guess the reason here, we all get it. He's probably going to be the number one target in Carolina unless Kelvin Benjamin does emerge.
He's Jordan Cameron with us outside. He really is. He's gonna lead his team in targets. He's gonna give you consistency. And he's gonna have two big games clear. That's basically what it is.
I'm not. When you get down this low, I'm not. I won't have Greg Olson or pretty much any of these guys just because I think they all fall in the same category as any of the other tight ends that have been drafted this season.
But
Dennis Pitta, I just don't get. I don't understand why anyone's drafting him. The guy's he had one good touch. He's not solid though. He's been hurt almost every single year.
I got him in the last round of a two quarterback three.
Okay, then
I always have you.
No, that's fine. You can take anyone in the last round and have a reason.
So what
for
I'm
it.
Saying is like. In a two-quarterback league, I got Dennis Pitta. If I'm just going to – at that point, I'm just going to have a tight end and not worry about it all year. I'd rather have Dennis Pitta than someone like the Darius Green.
I mean, I wouldn't, but that's completely different.
You have Darius Green ahead of Dennis Pitta in your rankings.
Yeah, absolutely. And the only reason – I thought I didn't have him on my list. And the only reason for that is – well, I just think Dennis Pitta is undraftable because I don't have my top 10 tight end, and because I would never take a backup tight end. So, you can take him in the last round. That's fine. I get it. He's somewhat of a safer pick, and if you're taking anyone in the last round, you can justify any pick in the last round for any reason. If a guy's name is funny, it's worth taking him in the last round. It doesn't matter. You could drop him.
I would never waste a pick.
The thing I have with – the problem I have with Dennis Pitta, people who are taking a kicker, I think, are wasting a pick. The problem I have with Dennis Pitta is that some people, like I read the other day, someone had Dennis Pitta above Jason Witten, which makes absolutely no sense to me. I don't have anything against Dennis Pitta. I just don't think he deserves to be taken anywhere above the last round.
Well, I think I think it's that the Gary Kubiak offense has always been kind to tight ends.
So Pitta's always been overrated. It's not just this year. When people have been drafting him consistently. I know he got hurt last year, and that was like a big preseason storyline. Like, what the hell did he do even before last year? And now he should be even lower. I just don't see – I mean, he's not tremendously athletic. He's an average quarterback. For fantasy purposes, even worse, it's not like it's the best offense. I don't see it. I mean, I'd rather have guys like you said, Ladarius Green. You don't want to start Ladarius Green, and maybe you could take Dennis Pitta and the one team I do have Green on, he's my backup tight end. I don't justify taking a backup tight end ever, but Ladarius Green, he's just one of those, especially only if you have a flex spot. Hopefully, if Gates gets hurt, which has been a pretty constant thing over the past couple of years, then the Darius Green has upside to finish as a top five tight end, kind of like what Julius Thomas did. I mean, I picked up Julius Thomas in your league last year. Granted, he ended up being my starting tight end. But in another league, I had two tight ends, and Julius Thomas was it. So they're not my backup tight end. I don't consider it that because I don't plan on – your backup tight end is usually worse than your starting tight end. I think I pick these guys because they have the opportunity or whatever. They have the ability to finish above who you have starting right now.
Right, but I can also say that if Dennis Pitta stays healthy just on a consistent week-to-week basis, he could be a top five tight end too.
So I don't see it. If everyone else stays healthy.
We just discussed how many – well, I'm just saying, we just discussed how many tight ends did we just say have injury problems? You know what I mean?
But Dennis Pitta would need things – to go right for him. I mean,
I just think he would need to play. I mean, like, I don't think he's
one of the guys who has injury problems.
It's going to be not really. He broke his hip last year.
So everything would have to go. I mean, he's played one full season in his 5 years, right?
I mean, I'll look it up, but I don't think he's been in the league for 5 years.
I just think Ladarius Green just has such tremendous, tremendous upside.
Look, I'm not saying that Dennis Pitt is like the second coming of Jimmy Graham.
No,
I'm just saying.
But here's my thing, and I thought about it before, and off the top of my head, I mean, just the guys I come up with, and we're talking about Jimmy Graham's in a class of his own now. I mean, I remember it was 4 years ago, none of us had ever heard of Jimmy Graham, and he had the same hype in the preseason that Ladarius Green is getting now and started to get at the end of last season. So you had Jimmy Graham. Remember this happened with Julius Thomas at the beginning of last year?
I mean, not for nothing. Dennis Pitt is here. Sorry to cut you off. I just got the stats up here. He had 60 catches for 670 yards and 7 touchdowns in 16 games. That's not bad.
And if you're going to year.
What?
That's his best year. And his only full
He's
season.
He only had 2 full seasons before last year.
I just, and that's still not even that great. I mean, yeah, he could take the next step, but I just, not that I've watched a ton of Dennis Pitta, but.
Yeah, I bet you watch more of Dennis Pitta than Darius Green.
That's true. I can't say I've seen Darius Green play, but I also didn't see Jimmy Graham play ever before I drafted him 4 years ago, and that's my point. I mean, you have these guys, we have the same thing. Remember Jordan Cameron, he had all these people talking about him last season. Like I said, Julius Thomas, the only one that I could think of right away who completely didn't pan out was Zach Sudfeld, which is a complete...
Oh, yeah. He was on my team last year, baby.
Just a complete bust. But after that, it's not hard. Even the casual fan, it's not hard to watch a practice or watch a game or whatever and just be able to tell who the most athletic guy on the field is. And you have someone that big and that athletic. I don't know what happened to my computer screen. It's not going back on. So,
turn it off?
No, just went off on its own. My point being, I just don't see that with Dennis Pitta.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't think Dennis Pitta is the second coming of, you know, whatever. I just think that he's in a good situation with a quarterback that trusts him and that, you know, he has a good offensive coordinator as far as tight ends go. That's more or less, and I feel the same with Kyle Rudolph this year, except for the quarterback. North Turner looks for tight ends in the red zone, and Kyle Rudolph has proven that he could score touchdowns in this league. And that's really all, you know, if I'm looking for a guy that I can get late, like I said, I got him in the last round, the 18th round of the league, you know, that I don't have to worry about going through every, I think the computer's on that. That I don't have to worry about, you know, worry if, like, whatever. I'm perfectly fine with if I get 10 points from Dennis Pitta every week or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not thinking that he's going to jolt up with that tier one or tier two that we were talking about. What I'm saying is I think he's one of the safer ones in that, you know, like, he's safer. I believe he's safer than Jordan Reed. I think he's safer than Zach Ertz. I think he's safer than...
That's the thing. I don't think he's that safe, just like we talked about. I mean,
he's that injury prone, though. He's only had one injury.
But just looked at it. Look at it. He's been injured, what, 2 or 3 seasons in his career?
One year. I just told you, 2 years before, he played 16 games.
But last year? And
2013 was when he got hurt, correct? Last year. By the way, if you project his stats over 16 games, he's on pace for 80 catches and 900 yards. The 2 years before that, he played 16 games. The year before that, he was a rookie. He didn't really play. He played in 11 games. He only had one catch.
I mean, not that it...
He was like a third tight end his rookie year.
So even, I mean, even at his best, when he did play all 16 games, that's what I'm saying. I just don't see the ability from him, which is fine. I mean,
I think at the very worst, he gets hurt, which is the worst case for scenario of everybody. But I don't think, I think at his very best, he has 80 catches for 800 to 850 yards and, you know, touchdowns to touchdowns, whatever. If you want to say 6 feet, whatever.
I'd rather have Heath Miller. I think he's kind of in, they're kind of the same guy. And Heath Miller is.
And Heath Miller was the number 4 tight end 2 years ago.
Number 4?
2 years ago in fantasy scoring.
Oh,
he was the number 4.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I really like Heath Miller. He got hurt last year, but even when he came back, I mean, the guy, you know.
No problem with Heath Miller. I'm saying, but you can't say that you can't say they're the same guy and that you like Heath Miller and don't like Dennis Pitta
You know what I'm saying?
They're the same guy, except that it's like Heath Miller more. He's done it before. He's more consistent. He's
still a talent that is
I like talking about Dennis Fitter. Just because whatever. And, I mean, I have him in my top 10. That's why I wouldn't draft him. You just say it's because there's so many guys in this area, in this category, that you could take a chance on. Zach Ertz being the other one, we think is a young tight end who might be able to take the next step, and we talk about this all the time.
I don't think Zach Ertz is there yet. That's just me, but I have my reasons.
Well, he's in a great offense.
But he's in a great offense, but they don't throw the tight end a ton, and he's going to split time with Brent Celek.
Yeah, I think he's going to get the majority of the carries, but Brent Celek's definitely going to take their
Charles Clay.
Touches, targets. Well,
targets maybe, but what I'm saying is Brent Celek's the better tight end right now, so I think they still need Brent Celek on the field to block and things like that. Oh, the Giants' new offensive coordinator is so ugly.
Yeah, you guys are weird looking. Well, speaking of, Charles Clay is actually the guy I have right behind Zach Ertz also.
Yeah, me too.
He's like I don't see him finishing. If he went up by like points per game, I don't even know. I'm just saying this off the top of my head, but I think he had to be up there.
Charles Clay?
Yeah, just because he did everything last year. He got catches. He would run the ball. He had a couple goal line carries.
Yeah,
which makes him a great bye week fill in for a starting for a tight end. I definitely don't. I wouldn't feel safe starting him.
They had to. I mean,
yeah. No, it's not the worst thing in the world. But like I said, if you're waiting on tight end, you're taking someone this late. I like to take someone with upside. But Charles Clay isn't a bad play, and you know they don't have many other weapons there. So if Tannehill takes the next step, which some people are talking about, it's definitely possible. He's still a young quarterback. Then I wouldn't be surprised if Charles Clay is the one who emerged as the guy in this offense. I mean. And we've seen, like, Mike Wallace is not going to be the same player he was in Pittsburgh. Brian Hartline he just lacks talent. So he's a decent PPR guy, but, you know, like I said, Charles Clay might be the safest guy in this offense. They don't have much of a running game either, so.
Yeah, I think I would never draft him for, like, the fact that he gets the long carries, but it's just like,
yeah. No, but that's why if you were to pick up someone.
You're going to hear me say this about a bunch of people, and I should have said it already, but a couple of top guys, but if he ends up as a top 10 guy, it would be the least surprising thing in fantasy football.
We have, there's so many guys we could talk about in this category.
Yeah, same thing, like Martellus Bennett, same thing as Charles Clay, basically.
I think Clay is a little safer. I mean, Bennett is definitely capable of having that more, you know, that 2-3 touchdown game.
Oh, see, I disagree. I think Bennett's safer than Clay. Bennett has a better chance of taking the next step.
I think they're the opposite. I don't think Bennett's going to take the next step, but I think he's going to have bigger weeks, like less consistency. I think Clay is the more consistent guy, and Bennett doesn't get a lot of catches, but you know he's a big target. He'll get his touchdowns here and there. And Cutler likes Bennett. I mean, he used him a lot last year, so. Cutler stays healthy, then it's another target for Bennett. Bennett would be another target for Cutler. Granted, they have plenty as it is. Plus, he got suspended for the one game this year or whatever, or the preseason. You get in a fight in practice. I don't think it means much, but
it wasn't a suspension by the NFL. It was a suspension by the Bears for whatever reason.
It's not the first time this guy has had issues, so.
He's very immature, I think.
Yeah. I don't think he's draftable. I have 15 tight ends I think we just talked about. I think these are the only draftable guys. I know we have deeper sleepers.
No, I have one more guy that I think is draftable.
Kelsey?
No, I don't think he's draftable. I mean, if he has a huge first week, I'm going to put a nice waiver claim in on him. But Delanie Walker, I think, like, if you're stuck at the end of the draft and you like him better than Martellus Bennett or Charles Clay, I don't think that's a big deal.
No, like I said, they're all Delanie Walker. I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of those guys with huge athleticism. So kind of.
I have Delanie Walker as my number 15 tight end, and I drafted him in my league, in a 12-team league.
Yeah, well, do you have Ladarius Green in your top 15?
No. I literally have him in gate 16 and 17. Not that I picked the 16 and 17. I think.
It's a Drake Bell, Reggie Bush situation. I get that.
That's Kelsey, 17.
I can't believe how hard Gates has fallen too. I mean, that guy was he was better than Jimmy Graham was now back in his day.
Because back then, tight ends were the kickers of fantasy football. They really were.
Yeah, they really were. Except for him, and he pretty much started this whole revolution of tight ends, of basketball playing tight ends, just huge guys mismatches. But that's why he's still the number one guy, and I think his biggest contribution to fantasy would just be getting hurt or retiring, because that gives Ladarius Green the chance to become the full-time guy there.
Is it sad that Jimmy Garoppolo looks better than Eli Manning right now?
Jimmy Garoppolo has apparently had a huge preseason, so they're still trying to trade Ryan Mallett.
Yeah, he made Ryan Mallett expendable.
Well, Ryan Mallett's been expendable for like 6 years now. So I know you like Travis Kelce as a deep sleeper, not someone you want to draft.
He's not so deep anymore now because it's freaking preseason.
But still, like we said, I mean, you're not going to want to draft a 16th rated tight end, even in flex league.
Is that even that? I don't think he's going to start.
Have you heard or talked to anyone who starts two tight ends in a league, like in a flex league or something?
Well, yeah, in my league, you can technically start three.
I did a couple years ago.
Who did I start?
This year. Because I think the startable tight ends are going a little too early. I mean, you could do that if you end up with, like, Graham and Gronk, but or even, like, Julius Thomas. But I haven't heard of anyone who did this year.
I wouldn't mind, like, honestly, like, in a 10-team, two-quarterback league, it's like whatever. Like, I think there's you could do two quarterbacks because there's 20 startable quarterbacks, I guess. Not in a one-quarterback league, but in a two-quarterback league, it's fair. I think you could do a 10-team, two tight end league easily.
No, you could.
There's 20 startable
tight ends. Yeah. You could pick them up. No, I get it. Yeah, absolutely. I'm just saying, I don't know if I haven't heard. I was asking if you had heard of anyone who's legitimately starting two tight ends in a lineup this year. Like in a standard lineup, or just with a flex or whatever it may be.
No.
And I did it last year. I remember I started with Kobe Fleener, and just only because I picked up Julius Thomas late in the free agent pool, or late in the preseason.
Yeah.
I
did it a couple years ago. I can't remember the two tight ends I did.
Other than that, do you have any your sleeper picks? We talked about Travis Kelce. I know I stole that from you.
Yeah. Dwayne Allen.
Dwayne Allen and... Indianapolis, of course. And I guess he passes up Kobe Fleener. Even Fleener, I mean, if one of these guys were to get hurt, if someone took over, I just like the Indianapolis offense, and I think it's a matter of time before Andrew Luck becomes kind of the Peyton Manning-esque, where he already does this now, where he spreads the ball around. There's just way too many targets in Indianapolis, though.
I think Dwayne Allen is the starting tight end in that league. So they go... You know, let's say Nakeem Hicks looks good early in the season and they start going. I think Indianapolis wants to run a lot of two tight end sets. But let's say Nakeem Hicks starts looking good and they start going, you know, Wayne, Nakeem Hicks, and T.Y. Hilton in the slot at one tight end. I think Dwayne Allen will be the one tight end. He's a better blocker than Fleener. He's a more traditional tight end. That's the only reason. I actually have, like, two more sleepers that I just came up with off the top of my head. Well, three more, actually.
So?
Yeah. Can I hear him?
Let me guess.
Go.
Three more?
Yeah.
Austin Safarian Jenkins.
One.
Is one.
You're never going to get the one.
Levi and Tuololo?
No.
And Eric Ebron, which I don't think is...
No. So Austin Safarian Jenkins, the guy that got traded, I mean, I guess we didn't really talk about him when we talked about the trade. What about Tim Wright? It's like a hybrid wide receiver tight end. Could they use him in the all jokes aside, the Aaron Hernandez role?
Yeah, as I said, we brought it up before, and two guys, there was a trade, and two guys benefit from a fantasy perspective. It actually helped both of them out. Yeah, it's gonna take Tim Wright a long time to learn the playbook. I don't even know, is he playing tonight?
Yeah. I mean, he's in uniform. I don't know if he's playing.
I'm sure they're gonna get him reps. Just put him in the most basic formations. It's really hard to learn any playbook in, a week and a half.
Right.
It's going to be really tough for him to adjust. But like you said, I mean, he had a nice rookie year with Tampa Bay. And I guess, it goes to your point that these two kind of go hand in hand because Safarian Jenkins becomes more valuable because Tim Wright got traded away. So now
right.
He's pretty much the only...
He's the tight end. He's
well, they also have Brandon Myers, which I don't know.
dropped 86.
I know he stayed. Brandon Myers, the guy
had like 80 catches here.
Yeah. So I don't know what I mean.
He can't play tight end. He's just like an unathletic wide receiver. Okay. I have one more. And I stole this from somebody. I completely stole it from somebody. I forget who. But what if Wes Welker is like dead, what about Jacob Cannon?
I know where he stole it from.
Where?
Stole it from Field Yates. Mentioned that.
Oh, yeah, did he?
On the podcast.
I
guess. I mean, and Tammy's, he has a history with Peyton Manning. But, yeah, I kind of get it. But then I just think they're going to plug in Emmanuel Sanders or Cody Latimer before you bring in Jacob Tammy. I know he's solid. He's more of a veteran, proven guy. But, would you feel comfortable starting the second tight end in any offense, much less Jacob Tammy? And the guy, I see what you're saying.
In a PPR league, like if you just need like a spot start somewhere?
I think he's going to do the same thing. He's going to have that one good week, and people are going to pick him up. And then
well, here's the thing. Let me just say you're in a 12-team league, right? And there's weeks where there's four tight ends on a bye. Plus, if you're in a 12-team league, assume five or six teams are carrying two tight ends. You're looking at the 18-19 tight end. You know what I mean? If you don't carry a backup.
Yeah. I suppose. Most people don't pay. I think other guys will emerge, too.
Have you heard anything about the Arizona tight end position? Like, is Rob Housewell going to start? I know you were big on him.
The last I read about him, he's going to get cut. Either going to get cut or
Troy
like,
Nicholas is a really good tight end. I know that.
I don't know their situation. I don't even know who's starting for them. But we heard this. This is kind of another situation, actually. I said of guys with huge hype who, in the preseason, usually pan out. Except for Zach Sutfeld, we completely forgot about Rob Housler, too. Rob Housler is a guy they talked about a lot last year. Just came through on Roller World. Sammy Watkins left the game early.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which bruised ribs. Probably just because of the fourth preseason game. They take him out early. Just as something to monitor. I think Sammy Watkins probably got drafted in almost every league. So definitely something you have to look out for.
And I don't know if you've seen this. But I've heard great. I mean, we didn't really talk about him, but he's like in that like Travis Kelce range or whoever, like Garrett Graham. But I've heard CJ Fedorowicz has actually looked great in camp. So I don't know. Maybe Garrett Graham's starting job isn't safe. So
I just don't like. I don't like the quarterback situation enough to justify taking
one
of them.
If you're in a 16-team league and Garrett Graham's right on that, you know that. Level of the 16-team or something like that, I wouldn't feel so safe about him because, like I said, apparently T.J. Fedorowicz has been playing great. By the way, I'm pretty sure Eli Manning's 0-for-4 against the Patriots backups.
Did you see the picture they have of Eli Manning and Madden?
Yeah, it's great.
Where they have his the
Ooh,
Eli
one
face.
One for five for -1 yard.
Nice. Not bad. Who's that? Did that guy, what's his name, Adrian Robinson, did he take the next step for the Giants?
No.
He's going to start with him?
I'm telling you right now, the Giants tight end group is the worst position group of any.
You stole that from PLDH, too?
No, I didn't. I just made that up off the top of my head.
I think they brought that up.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
2 years ago, it was the Giants linebackers.
Yeah, these guys are apparently bad, which, we all said, so Brandon Myers is going to be pretty decent. He went from, he had 80 catches, and he goes to the Giants, and the Giants usually utilize the tight end pretty well.
The only guy that's ever left Eli Manning, went to Eli Manning and got better. Worse.
Yeah. It's a tight end position is just kind of blah, so there's not much else to mention. I think he pretty much stole the deep sleepers from me. If he had to mention someone, I brought it up a long time ago, Brandon Bostic, the tight end for Green Bay, just because...
I don't think he's supposed to win the job anymore, though, is he?
I know he got hurt, and he might even miss week one, possibly longer. I think he, like, cracked the bone or something stupid. But it's like, he's not going to get drafted, but it's someone to monitor if he does come back and he does take over that number one job. Anyone who has a starting ball-catching position in the Green Bay offense is worth looking at. And also Mercedes Lewis, just because it depends who's going to be the quarterback there. Mercedes Lewis, huge target. And he's just another one of those guys. I wouldn't draft him either, feel comfortable starting necessarily, but he's a decent bye-week fill-in, a good red zone target, and they really don't have many other options in Jacksonville. So he's always had, he's one of those guys who always had,
still had those four attached, two touchdown games.
I'm trying to think of, like, if there's anyone else, like, until the Bengals figure out what they're doing with Jermaine Gresham, I don't think Tyler Eifert is worth talking about. Is there anyone, if Gronk is hurt, is there anyone we're talking about besides Tim Wright? Probably not, right?
No, I think if there was someone we're talking about, they never would have traded for Tim Wright in the first place.
Yeah, sure.
It's not like Tim Wright's that great, so.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Then we have the Lions situation. They have three talented tight ends. Ebron, they just drafted Brandon Pettigrew and Joseph Fourier, who are all just going to take away from each other and just make each one another irrelevant. So
yeah.
Stay away from that situation. That pretty much covers it. There's not much surprise we even lasted this long on tight end.
Yeah. I mean, anything about Jason Morrow?
No. He might not even start. I think Cumberland's going to end up being a starter there.
Yeah.
But that's just one of the worst offenses in the league. So I'd stay away from them entirely. So that's it. We covered all the position players. Not even worth talking about defense, kicker. As we mentioned, season starts next time we air the podcast. NFL season's going to be live.
Yes, we are previewing week one next week.
Which is awesome. Who's
Thursday
night. Who's playing?
It's Green Bay in Seattle.
That's the only game?
Yeah.
Or this has one game? I don't know. You enlightened me to the two Monday night games.
That's been like for the past 4 years.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to these things.
The last year we went to Casey's was the first year it happened.
What time does the game start? 8:30?
Probably, yeah. Apparently the game last year where Peyton went off.
Yeah, that was.
We were just sitting here watching like, oh my God.
I think that was the highest fantasy game of all time, wasn't it? Except for it might have been Michael Vick's Monday night game.
I don't know. I just knew that I had like six teams that I didn't have Peyton Manning on either one of them.
Yeah, close enough. All right. Well, that's it. It's all the time we have for today. As we said, we'll be on live during the first NFL game of the season next week for backsportspace.com for the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast for Mo and T. And Const, have a great week. The way we take it to the house, take it to the house, take it to the house.